Deadline will be 2 weeks from today, the 12th, I think it is. And after that, it will be coming out every 2 weeks until next summer. upcoming events are Upham Woods Retreat, which will be the last weekend in September. There will be a registration form in this coming up newsletter. If you have any questions about what it is, you can ask one of us afterwards. Briefly, it's every year in the fall, we go on a family retreat. And for many, many years, we've gone to Upham Woods, which is a 4-H camp owned by UW Extension right outside of the Dells. And it's a very nice environment with cabins and some dorm rooms that sleep four people. And we go up and canoe around the Black Hawk Island, take walks, have get-togethers with other people, have some workshops, play shops, I guess, quiet time, sing-alongs, and talent shows, and a bunch of fun. And we try and keep the cost as low as possible. So we'd like you to sign up for that. Or if there's something you'd like to do for a couple of hours to lead a workshop or things, also we need help with that. On the 2nd of October in the district, there's in Deerfield, Illinois, there's a thing called PhilosoFest, which is apparently an annual event that the district puts on looking at different UU philosophies. And this year the theme is can the UUs absorb pagans? So that sounds interesting. Well, I think they can, but... and then the week after that, on the 9th, is a leadership and RE conference in Bloomington. And the brochures will be coming about that, but I'd like to encourage people to go to that. This is something new, but it seems like a support to people in terms of what you can do in terms of our local congregations to develop leadership. I want to say one of the things I found out this year is that people ask a lot of times when we're looking at the budget, what do we get when we contribute money to the districts and to the UUA? And one of the things I found out is the Midwest District has insurance coverage for off-site events. So one of the things we found out when signing up for Upper Woods is they want to know what kind of insurance coverage we have. So I called the district office, and they do have a policy that will cover us. So as a service, I think that's very helpful. So that's one of the things that we get when we help contribute to the district. So we're going to be off for a busy year, and I guess the district will be too. Any other prairie announcements? All right, Delita?
Excuse me. Yeah. Someone should say that next week, Marion Thompson is in charge of the service, and it will meet at the Arboretum. So we'll meet at the McKay Center at 10 o'clock rather than right here.
Was that true? We won't be here first?
That's right. I believe it was in the newsletter that we'd be meeting at the McKay Center. And several people who are going to be doing the tours are getting training beforehand about Fran.
I don't know if this is an announcement or a joy, but I was enjoyed finding again how cooperative and helpful prairie people can be and how generous with their time and their money. And I wanted to say that our lawn sale last week netted something a little over $500.
Well, the yard and garage sale yard sale was an impressive event, I'd say, coming here and seeing the work that people were doing and how it spread out and everything. It looked like a tremendous effort, you know, it's a lot of people working here, so it's...
I understand there'll be a list in
the newsletter. But we're very grateful, Fran, for you helping organize this.
It was a joy.
Warren?
Would somebody like to say something about registering for RE? Please, see.
Dean? That people register on the 12th for RE?
When they come. Yeah.
When they come. Okay. I know that in the First Society newsletter, they are mostly full, and they're telling people there that if they don't get registered by September, they'll go on a waiting list, and suggested that they check with us or James Reed about RE. So.
Huh? We have a few extra.
Well, it would be nice, yes. I mean, we'd like to have a full RE. We have a lot of dedicated teachers, and they like to have a full class. It's much more enjoyable when you have lots of people you're working with, I think. Sign up for circle dinners. There are a few forms out there, and this year we're trying to get things organized so we'll be ready to go in September. Is that right, Susan? So if you haven't signed up, circle dinners are a potluck group. What they do is take everybody who's interested, kind of randomly assign people to a group, and then the group meets throughout the year. And it's a way of getting to know people a little better besides meeting them here on Sundays or through events. So I think, Dolita, I think we're ready for
the... Okay, before the children leave, we're going to do a song for children. Looks like children need to leave. Got your message, Mom? The rest of the are the kids left? The kids are welcome to come up here on the floor for a little bit, or you can stay right where you are. Okay, take a look. Those of you who have this piece, it's the very last one, the very last sheet at the bottom. And for the rest of you, it's $3.95. Okay. Hi, you can just sit right down on the floor if you like. Okay. And Ruth, if you want to grab a tambourine, you'll be helping. Okay. Hi, you can just sit right down here and sing with us. This is called Sing and Rejoice, and that's what we're here for. Just listen to it. Sing and rejoice, sing and rejoice, let all be sing along.
Sing and rejoice, sing and rejoice, let all things hear me now, sing and rejoice.
Now, now I'm going to divide you into group one and group two. And let's just we're going to try with group one to sing the first line. Group two, when they're done singing the first line, you come. We're going to try just that much. But then if anyone else wants to chime in between, you're welcome to turn it into a four-part round. Okay, group one.
We want to sing the whole song.
Sing the whole song, yeah. So group two, you come in at the beginning when group one has finished the first line. Okay. Oh, let's do four times. Okay. Ready? Go.
Sing and rejoice, sing and rejoice, sing and rejoice, sing and rejoice.
Chalice this morning.
And point it down.
You point it down?
Yeah.
But when Dick showed me, I had to point it up.
Do it several times.
Fast. Right, there we go.
It's running like that.
Okay. For those people whose wisdom unbinds them from the shackles of their times. And next on the program, a choral presentation, and it's been a delight to come early and hear the choir practice on several mornings.
Soprano. to invite Lily Sandler and Randy Converse. Is Randy downstairs? Oh, there he is. I'm sorry. Lily can just sit right over here. Maybe I delivered you to the wrong house.
Cheryl, we can just pass it back.
Okay, very sorry. Before they start, I'd like to say that the UU handbook needed updating for a number of reasons, and so the reason that we are addressing today is only one of several, but it is, it was kind of the catalyst and a major issue in getting the UU, the new UU handbook, kind of off the ground and moving. So go ahead, Amy.
An unexpected shock awaited several hundred delegates at the opening worship celebration at the Vancouver General Assembly in June. Welcomed by the Reverend John Quirk of the host church, the worshipers rose to sing the first hymn and found they could not sing it.
Brothers, we march along. The brotherhood we sing. Resound while men and mountains last.
There was a sexist reference in every verse of the hymn. The second hymn was equally offensive.
The goals which our fathers once sought, men's ampler hopes, we sing of Earth's brotherhood with men of all races.
Who was responsible? The preacher? The General Assembly Planning Committee? The printer? A mood of controlled revulsion gripped the delegates all day long. Then, at the end of the week, the impossible happened. On Friday morning, under the leadership of the Reverend Peter S. Rabel of Seattle, the delegates, 1,000 strong, again rose to sing, and again found they could not sustain.
Faith of the larger liberty, source of the light expanding, law of the church of man to be, old bondage notwithstanding.
The dismay in Vancouver was greater because this was an event with a history.
We're going to tell you a little bit about that history. He goes on in narrative to tell you about the history, but we're going to show it to you. Would you just take this and bring it with you and come on up here for a minute. She didn't know I was going to do this. Randy, you can have a seat. I'm going to make use of Lily for a minute. All right, stand right there. How about I'd out in front of the mic? Don't mind my back for a little bit here. He refers to a history that began in 1977, the year this woman was born. In 1977, the General Assembly in Ithaca had called upon all Universalists and Unitarians to
put traditional assumptions and language in perspective and avoid sexist assumptions and language in the future.
All right, so that's 1977. And basically, they were saying avoid sexist language. Now, she was just barely a tot in 1977, so this is going to go down on her feet. All right. Poster child. We should get a photo of this. This would be pretty funny. Okay. In January 1983, how many years later? The UUA Board of Trustees voted to urge
the GA Planning Committee to request GA program participants to use inclusive language in all presentations, workshops, worship services, and other programs at the annual general assemblies of our association.
Okay, who in here knows about how high a six-year-old is? Give it a guess. Come on up here. All right. We need one more person to help her out. Will you hold this at the height of a six-year-old? Somebody else hold it on the other side?
I think about it like this.
Okay. Need one more person.
Another grandmother.
Hey, a volunteer, come on. We're gonna need several volunteers. Thank you, Ruth.
Good room.
All right, now leave room for Lily to show. I mean, she's still here, but she was only about this high. Okay. In April 1983, which is still the same year, Now, this was what month? January. Okay, in April. Now, this is still before the convention where they couldn't sing the word. The UUA Women and Religion Committee urged all GA program participants to utilize gender-inclusive language. The committee wrote,
"We are depending on you to see to it that your program provides a model of inclusive language for all those who attend."
Okay. So here's April 1983, provide inclusive language. If you could hold that just right above that, it's the same year.
Oh, okay.
She's still 6 years old. Okay. In his annual report in Vancouver in June, where we started out this reading, where there was the sexist language being sung, President Eugene Pickett stated, and I don't know if this is before or after the singing of the hymns, but in any case, this was what President Pickett had to say.
"Time after time as I travel the continent, I find myself embarrassed by the sexist language which still abounds in so many of our worship services, and I have vowed that wherever I am asked to speak, I will do all I can to ensure that the hymns and liturgy are inclusive in their content and expression."
Okay, now this was June 83. She's still 6 years old.
Oh, she's
okay. Right. And that is all. And then in August 83, after the convention, was when Park published his editorial. And Randy, I'll let you borrow mine. Why don't you go ahead and read the rest? This is the rest of the editorial we started out with. So we're still, I don't have August here, but we're stacking it up here in 83 as to events that happened real fast, sort of. Go ahead.
"My position is that sexist language is an act of oppression against women. Religiously and ethically motivated persons do not use such language and actively discourage its use by others. I immediately add that I respect those who, because of custom or tradition, utilize gender-exclusive language from the human past. We do not condemn Ralph Waldo Emerson for having written in his lecture on aristocracy that, quote, the superior man is at home in his own mind, unquote. Nor should we condemn persons who quote such language exactly as it was written. Why then, you may ask, all the fuss about hymn text? Isn't a hymn text an acceptable usage governed by custom or tradition from the human past? I answer, a gender-exclusive hymn text is offensive because it is used in public worship. Such usage denies to women, whether they perceive protest it or not, the full dignity of their status as women. Brothers, we march along. It's not a statement a woman can make to another woman."
Would you read that again? Because I think whether it refers to what women are singing or what men are singing, you could also say, sisters, we march along, so is not something a man would say to another man. Read that over again.
Quote, brothers, we march along, unquote. One can only be gratified by Dr. Pickett's call for a new UUA hymnal fully inclusive in the language of worship, whether sung or spoken. Sexist language has no place in the Unitarian Universalist Association, its member congregations, affiliated organizations, or general assemblies. It has no place in private speech, public discourse, business communication, worship, preaching, or humor. The decade of the 1980s is an era of decision in establishing equality in language in this religious community. If we establish equality in language here, and we shall, there is no reason why it should not be established everywhere.
Thank you, Randy. All right, this was August 1983. It's now how many years later? All right. In May 1983, we're getting up towards the top of her head here. Let's just say it's around here. May 1993, the hymn book was actually published in May 1993. So we'll just wave it over her shoulder here. We're getting there. Finally, in August 1993, We have the hymn book. I must say that Lily Sandler has not been deprived of progressive thinking for reasons we all know because of the lack of this hymn book. But Lily, on behalf of the generation that dragged its heels, I would like to give you. Well, still, this is my presentation. Okay. And I hope that your generation doesn't wait 16 years to make necessary revisions. Okay. I have to have it back to this. Oh, okay. Put it all back on. He wants to get a picture of it. Yeah, let's get this back over his shoulder. Okay. I'll give you another one.
Okay.
Pay for it. For those of you visitors who don't know why Lily has not been harmed by lack of a hymn book, it's because she has parents and grandparents who have brought her up in another tradition. Okay. Well, you turn, those of you who have not opened your hymn books yet, or if you're, or if they've just been opened, treat them as your grade school teachers told you how to treat a new book, like opening them gently and maybe a few pages at a time, because I realize some of them I just took right out of the box. Turn to page 673 and just look at the contents. It's way in the back, in the very, very back of the book, the index in the back of the book. The little numbers down at the bottom, I think, the little tiny numbers, am I right?
You okay. Like this page?
Yeah. Julie has it up here. Take a look at the page Julie has.
So down at the bottom here it says 673. Oh. So it's in the index.
Those of you who are not near a hymn book will just have to borrow one later and see, or see if there's extra hymn books lying around. If you will notice, I mean, this is probably the only hymn book in the world that has Die Gedanken sind frei. I'm going to stumble on this one. Nkosi Sekelel I Afrika. Sikalel. Anyway, we'll learn to say it eventually. We are a gentle, angry people. Lady of the Season's Laughter, which is, I think, one of the most delightful songs in the book. And Precious Lord, Take My Hand. I mean, if that isn't inclusive, let's celebrate it now. And I'd like to celebrate it with Malvina Reynolds. Will you turn to page 313? What a piece of work are we?
Draws from many sources, direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces which create and uphold life.
And turn to page 196. And I certainly have no idea under what tradition this was actually done. I don't know if it was done with a drum. I am not trying to emulate what Native Americans might have done with it or what this population might have done with it. Let's get a rhythm going just by slapping your legs, but bum, 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 bum. Ruth, you want to try the drum? Bum, bum, bum. Just listen while you do it.
Birds in sunshine, childish faces.
The living tradition we share draws from many sources. Words and deeds of prophetic women and men, which challenge us to confront powers and structures of evil with justice, compassion, and the transforming power of love.
If you look in the back of the book, there are several readings. Turn to 562, and those of you that have the pages, they're right here on the next page, on the duplicated page.
The reading 562
in the very back. Women, let's begin by reading the words of Mother Teresa.
Love cannot remain by itself. It has no meaning. Love has to be put into action, and that action is service. Whatever form we are, able or disabled, rich or poor, it is not how much we do, but how much love we put in the doing. A lifelong sharing of love with others.
And then on to 564, words of Alice Walker.
Love is not concerned with whom you pray or where you slept the night you ran away from home. Love is concerned that the beating of your heart should kill no one.
All right. Men, will you read in unison then number 563?
A person will worship something, have no doubt about that. We may think our tribute is paid in secret in the dark recesses of our hearts, but it will not. That which dominates our imaginations and our thoughts will determine our lives and character. Therefore, it behooves us to be careful what we worship, for what we are worshiping, we are not coming.
Ralph Waldo Emerson. And now from Unitarian Clinton Lee Scott. Men, will you begin?
Always it is easier to pay homage to prophets than to heed the direction of their vision.
Women.
It is easier blindly to venerate the saints than to learn the human quality of their sainthood.
It is easier to glorify the heroes of the race than
to give weight to their examples.
To worship the wise is much easier than to profit by their wisdom.
Great leaders are honored not by adulation, but by sharing their insights and values.
Grandchildren of those who stoned the prophets sometimes gather up the stones to build the prophet's monument.
Always it is easier to pay homage to prophets than to heed the direction of their vision.
And continuing from UU principles, the living tradition we share draws from many sources.
Wisdom from the world's religions, which inspires us in our ethical spiritual life. Jewish and Christian teachings, which call us to respond to God's love by loving our neighbors as ourselves.
Page 276. I used to sing this song probably in both Baptist and Methodist Sunday schools, and I find we're going to use just verses 1 and 4, and I can assure you that we never did sing verse 4. In my Sunday school. All right. I'm just going to give you the ending of this. I think enough of you, either no one could read music, that we can do it without the entire thing.
Still a song, to serve you.
Jewish tradition, O Sing Hallelujah. And George and Ruth, will you join me? This is in a mode that most of us did not grow up with. And at first, to Western ears, it may sound sad. This is not intended to be a sad song. We'll play the whole thing through once. And then sing the first and the second verses.
There's still some
which counsel us to heed the guidance of reason and the results of science, and warn us against idolatries of the mind and spirit.
Page 339. I'm going to play it slowly, and we may want to sing it slowly. This one's very new to me. I don't know how many of you people know it.
Item got left out of the order of service, but we will not forget that we need our offerings. This is the time where today we described as comforting and rejoicing, or otherwise known as joys and sorrows. I have one or two kinds of things to share, actually. My grandmother, who is 96, has been living in her own apartment up until the past 2 weeks, and my parents have had to move her into an adult foster home. She is getting weaker and had a couple of compression fractures and is not able to live alone. I think it's been remarkable that she's been able to do it this long, but I think at this point she's kind of pretty steadily going downhill. We're pleased that she could get into a place like this because our son's getting married a week from today, and I really wanted my parents to be here. And without having a place for Grandma, they couldn't have made it. So we're going to have a very joyous occasion in our family next week when our son and fiance Michelle get married. So it's going to be, and our daughter and her son are coming to join us also. So it's a busy family week for us. Any other sharing?
I want to celebrate a day of joy for me, because today is my daughter's 10th birthday.
Yeah. I have to let you know that two of my son are born on the same day. He's 31.
Anybody, Heidi?
I forgot to mention in the announcements that the volunteer board is going around, and I got a promotion at work, and both the kids survived the first week of school.
Congratulations. Orange?
Well, I have a joy that is very nicely tied into today's service. My stepfather is a retired Unitarian minister who was served in the same church with Eugene Pickett. And when we visited this summer, I'll come up with it. I've got handouts. This isn't a spontaneous announcement. When we visited him this July, he's in North Carolina now, although he had served with the big congregation in Atlanta. He very proudly showed me the new songbook, and he was extremely excited about it. And he said, I want you to go back to Prairie and make sure that they get enough songbooks, that they'll have enough for every Sunday service. And I will give a challenge grant to your congregation to get prayer books, or songbooks rather. And Dean and I have joined in the spirit of the challenge grant. So I know we already have some songbooks, which a number of you have already generously donated, but this is the challenge. We need about 18 more. And that's kind of a guess. Obviously, if we get more than that, that's fine. So if Prairie comes up with enough people to donate 12 more, we will give 6 to go with those 12. And some of them are coming from my stepfather. And he had, after years of being a Unitarian minister, he had some great suggestions of how to encourage people to do this. And he said that what you need to do is go to them and say, look, each book is going to have a book plate in the front. And that book plate can say whatever you want. And some of the suggestions that are on my sheet are donated in honor of, obviously you could use your parents or your children, a favorite Prairie teacher, some famous person who's inspired your life, dedicated in memory of a mentor, a friend who's passed away, family members, dedicated to the spirit of music, equality, fellowship, coffee, contributed to Prairie by Prairie Play Readers, the Spanish-speaking group, the first through third graders, or a family like the Schroeder family, or any other group that would like to contribute to Prairie in their own name. Here's another one for those of you who are involved in causes, which probably covers most of us, to remind us all of, so that every Sunday morning somebody's going to open that prayer book and say, oh yeah, so a quote, a saying, a cause, whatever you'd like to put. And then finally, oops. in appreciation of, and I suggested their Prairie Fellowship would be a good suggestion, a particular lay ministry that moved you, or our musicians, you know, to do one in appreciation of those who have accompanied us over the years, or any of the old chicken pluckers, for instance, that would be one that we might do. And then if you really can't be moved by any of those, there's always anonymous, but I've never known anybody at Prairie to be anonymous. So I'm going to pass these around. I did put a note on that if you've already given a book and would like a book plate, we'd be happy to do that too. And I'm going to give one of these to Dick to put sort of a synopsis of that in the newsletter. So I'll pass these to this section and these over here.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes. Yes, and thanks to Larry, we had him on regularly every week. So it's been a joy to have that. Any other sharing?
I have, well, in the cosmic scale of things, it's a relatively minor sorrow, but the Fish are leaving the Fishbowl tomorrow. It's the last game of the Madison Muskies in Madison before they move to Grand Rapids, so go to the game. Thank you for playing for us and being a lot of fun for 10 years.
Do I have to look at their name?
No.
Yeah.
Anne reminded me, I was going to mention before one of our songs that I wanted to dedicate it to Anne, because Anne, I recall a service in which there was a lot of musical presentations, and you came up to me and you said, can't we have a service where we all sing? So it took a while to get around to it.
Betty.
Well, another birthday is sort of...
our oldest daughter is going to be 50 this week. And we're going to her birthday party, a surprise party in Toronto.
Wow. That must mean you're married 52 years, right?
53. Barbara, you had something to share.
It was a joy to have Lilia lead this.
We attended what amounted to a family reunion down in Effingham, Illinois. The significant thing is that my uncle, 97 years old, was there, lives in his own home with his wife, and my aunt, who lives in North Carolina, was there, 95 years old. And cousin, who's married to a man in Germany, was there, and I was, though my family has lived to be 90 often, I don't remember any of them who were 97 or 95. Mm.
That means you were the youngster there, practically. Any other sharing? Also, guests and newcomers are welcome to introduce themselves. So if anybody's visiting here today, we'd love to meet you and be able to talk with you after the service. Anybody afraid to introduce
I'm just visiting. My name is Tim.
Thank you, Tim.
Rick Collin. I've been here a time or two before, and I have moved to Madison, but I'm without a home for a couple of months, so I'm kind of wandering around.
I'm Sylvie Lanning from Manhattan, Kansas. We have a fellowship there. It's great to see what you're doing.
Well, I gave instructions to somebody over the phone this morning on how to get here. I don't know if they made it or not. Tried to make it as easy as possible. All right, I think we're ready for today, a final verse, but hopefully we'll be using these song books again and again. And there's lots of unexplored territory. We will be singing our... From page 360, here we have gathered.
Now this is actually an entrance song, but I decided in the spirit of prayer, I wanted to end with. Stand up.